This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Revised mask rules. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Wednesday, April 28th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The CDC says if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask if you're exercising or in a small group.
President Biden makes a televised speech tonight. Among other things, he's expected to propose free preschool.
As the Biden administration approaches its first 100 days, U.S. adversaries are preparing to test its resolve. We'll have examples.
And the little regulation of so-called self-driving cars and the misleading terminology that goes with them.
The government is not regulating any of this. And so there's a lot of confusion out there, and that's the problem. We hear about self-driving cars all the time, but they don't actually exist yet.
Joanne Muller at Axios on self-driving cars speeding forward while safety rules are lagging. Mask restrictions are loosening. The CDC now says if you're fully vaccinated, you don't have to wear a face covering when you're outside walking, hiking, biking, running, or gathering in small groups. The same goes for those forms of exercise with household members, dining at restaurants outside, and for small outdoor gatherings that include some unvaccinated people. CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
Masked, fully vaccinated people can safely attend worship services inside, go to an indoor restaurant or bar, and even participate in an indoor exercise class.
Officials still recommend masks in public settings like concerts, sporting events, and other crowded gatherings. Research shows that transmission occurs outdoors at a rate of less than 10%. Also, Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker is lifting the outdoor mask mandate effective Friday and relaxing other COVID-related business restrictions beginning May 10, for example. As long as you social distance in Massachusetts, you'll be allowed to sing indoors. President Biden is proposing to spend more money. During a televised speech to Congress tonight, Mr. Biden will, among other things, call for free preschool for all 3- and 4-year-old children, a $200 billion investment. The administration says it'll benefit 5 million kids and save the average family $13,000. It calls for providing federal funds to help the states offer preschool with teachers and other employees earning $15 an hour. It's part of a new spending package worth more than $1 trillion. That's no more than $4 trillion of proposed spending that's part of what the White House calls Build Back Better. Here's White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki.
We are launching the Getting America Back on Track tour to highlight the successes of the first 100 days in addressing the crises facing our country.
Meanwhile, some Democrats want Mr. Biden to make the child tax credit permanent. You'll recall it was increased to as much as $300 a month as part of COVID relief. Right now, it's set to expire in 2022. Some want it extended to 2025. The first 100 days of Joe Biden's presidency, a milestone he will reach this week, were largely about fighting the coronavirus and stimulating the domestic economy. For the second 100 days, questionable actors are set to test the president, like China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and the Taliban in Afghanistan. More from Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. Jerry, your take.
You know, the first 100 days, and that's the mark that we hit this week, have been pretty domestic focused, you know, particularly because of the coronavirus. And that was totally predictable. It's what the Biden people told us to expect, you know, and I think the idea was that the rest of the world will have to take second place for a while. We need to focus on this. Now, however, the problems on the foreign horizon have been kind of building. The clouds are there. You've seen the Chinese get more aggressive around Taiwan and in the South China Sea. You've seen Russia massing troops near Ukraine, suggesting perhaps something ominous happening there. The Iranians have started to ramp up the enrichment level of the uranium that they're producing, that they're enriching now, while talks are underway to try to get back into the nuclear deal. The Taliban has, in Afghanistan has warned it's going to start attacking foreign troops, including American troops, on May 1st, unless they're all out. And the North Koreans have been shooting off the occasional, not very worrisome, but still noteworthy missiles into the sea to just to make the point they're not going to be ignored. So all those things figure to become more prominent problems in the second 100 days, and I think we're probably headed toward a bit of a focus shift as a result of that.
All right, so these rivals and or adversaries, in some cases, at least early on, they're going to be looking for how the Biden administration reacts and then might try something else or do something else?
I think that's a fair analysis. I think that these challenges are not coincidental, probably. There is always a testing time for a new president. And Joe Biden was vice president for 8 years, so he's not an unknown commodity. But still, I think there is probably a probing underway that explains some of what's going on. I think particularly Russia and China want to see how the new president will react when they do something challenging or provocative. They may not know. I think Russian leader Putin and Chinese leader Xi may not really know what they want to do in the medium term on Taiwan and Ukraine. But if they if they're a little bit challenging and they see how the president responds, then they'll calculate how far they could really go. So I think that these challenges are important. The way President Biden responds is probably even more important. And I think the trick here is to be firm without being provocative in the way you respond.
We're speaking with Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. His column is called "For Biden's Next 100 Days, the World is Preparing Tests." You mentioned the firm without being provocative. There was also somebody within reference to the China and Taiwan relationship that the U.S. now needs to narrow the gap between rhetoric and capability. Meaning what?
Well, meaning that the rhetoric of the U.S. has been to warn China not to make a unilateral move against Taiwan, certainly not a military one, that attempts to forcibly reunite Taiwan with the mainland, which is what China really wants, and to be careful. But, the rhetoric may not be matched with steps that make Taiwan capable of really defending itself vigorously against any Chinese military move or just a military provocation. So there may be a need to think about defensive military equipment the Taiwanese need that we could provide. That's a very, very sensitive and again, provocative step in the eyes of the Chinese government. So you have to be careful. But on the other hand, if you want to warn the Chinese, you have to perhaps really prepare the Taiwanese to defend themselves. And that's a subject that requires some additional thought and consultation, probably.
Does what's happening now potentially on the international front, Jerry, jeopardize President Biden's domestic agenda?
Well, I don't think so yet, but there's always that possibility. You know, one of the reasons the president wants to get U.S. troops out of Afghanistan and to keep the U.S. presence in Iraq low is so that he can focus on his domestic agenda, that the costs in human lives and in actual money of being in Afghanistan and Iraq has been very high. It's sapped money away from other domestic needs. He wants to avoid that. So I think there's always the trade-off in both time, money, and presidential attention, frankly, between overseas issues and domestic issues. So I don't think there's a conflict there yet. And in fact, one of the interesting things about international issues in some cases is that it's easier to get bipartisan support for things happening, you know, beyond our shores than inside our own house.
Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Seib, executive Washington editor at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, a civil rights probe for a North Carolina police department. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. The FBI has opened a civil rights investigation into the fatal shooting of a man by sheriff's deputies in northeastern North Carolina who were serving drug and arrest warrants. The announcement of a federal probe came hours after family members of 42-year-old Andrew Brown said that a private autopsy showed Mr. Brown died of a gunshot wound to the head. Family attorney Wayne Kendall says Mr. Brown was shot four times in the arm while sitting in a car with his hands on the steering wheel, and once in the back of the head as he put the car in reverse, turned it around, and attempted to flee.
His death was caused by these officers with a bullet wound to the back of his head that caused him to lose control of that vehicle and crash into a tree.
Public outcry over the shooting has led the mayor of Elizabeth City to declare a curfew and a state of emergency. Pasquotank County Sheriff Tommy Wooten said he supports the release of body cam footage. The law requires a judge to decide whether to publicly release any body camera footage. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden will call for free preschool for all 3 and 4-year-old children, a $200 billion investment to be rolled out as part of his sweeping plan being unveiled tonight in an address to Congress, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We'll also use the tour to take the case directly to the American people about the vital need for action on the jobs plan and the families plan.
The administration says the preschool investment would benefit 5 million children and save the average family $13,000.
Number two.
India crossed a grim milestone today of 200,000 people lost to the coronavirus as a devastating surge of new infections tears through dense cities and rural areas alike and overwhelms healthcare systems on the brink of collapse. White House senior advisor Andy Slavitt says the U.S. will help.
CDC, which has a long history of working with and in India on public health measures, will be deploying a strike team to the country to support public health efforts there.
India's health ministry reported a single-day record 3,293 COVID-19 deaths in the past 24 hours.
Number three.
Prosecutors argued at a detention hearing yesterday that two suspects accused of dousing police with chemical spray were lying in wait before launching an attack that helped break law enforcement's defensive line, accelerating the deadly breach of the Capitol on January 6th. Prosecutors say the alleged assault involved Julian Cotter and George Tanios temporarily blinded and staggered several officers. The judge did not immediately rule on the suspect's request for a pretrial release. Police in New Mexico say a man accused of abusing his girlfriend for hours was arrested after her children passed a note to their school bus driver seeking help. The suspect, 40-year-old Eric Alvarado, allegedly threatened to kill the woman during a domestic altercation and took her phone away so she couldn't call or message for help. The following morning, the woman surreptitiously gave her children a note that said she was in danger and asked them to pass it along to the school bus driver. After getting the letter, the driver called 911. If you got a federal tax refund, it was probably close to $2,900. The IRS, which is still working through a backlog of returns, has distributed more than $210 billion. The average return has been $2,939 for those who filed online.
All right, many still waiting, of course. Thanks, Jen.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell Technologies advisors listen to your small business needs so they can provide you with tailored tech solutions powered by Intel vPro platform. Call today at 877-ASK-DELL. As technologies of all sorts have helped us cope through the pandemic, many of us are slowly emerging out of our quarantine shells, and for some, that includes going back to the office. Big tech companies, including Facebook, Google, Amazon, planning to let employees return in reduced capacities. Microsoft and Uber have already allowed some workers back. So how can tech help us re-engage with office life? In-depth analysis from Terry Collins, tech reporter at USA Today. Terry, how will this happen?
I think it's going to happen basically in waves, and I think it's going to happen with employers reaching out to their employees, really trying to gauge and see who wants to come back, who wants to come back to work in an office-type setting, and if so, how do you want to come back? We have some ideas. Here are some suggestions. If you have any, let us know, because we want to make it a productive and safe environment. And it's going to take, you know, a lot of communication.
Yeah.
To make sure that employees feel safe coming back, and for the employers to ensure that they can provide a safe environment. And tech is going to be, I think, at the forefront of making all this happen.
Do you get a feel that people actually want to go back to the office after working from home?
I've seen surveys that go anywhere from 30% up to almost inching towards half. There's a desire for some workers to go back. If they can go back in waves, staggered, like maybe go in a hybrid type schedule, maybe 2 days a week, 3 days a week, like one team, then maybe another team. It's gonna take a lot of do some rotating.
Yeah.
You know, some alternating. And like I said, the coordination is just going to be, it's going to be immense.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, we're gonna have everything, you know, ranging from apps that are gonna help monitor contact tracing, you know, see more touchless entries, make sure that, you know, there's proper ventilation circling through, you know, even things like meeting rooms, breakout areas, just to make sure that there's enough safe space. You know,
yeah.
We hear that term all the time, safe space. Well, this is gonna be in more of a literal sense of making spaces safe upon workers when they return to the office. One, maybe they're tired of being at home. Also to the degree of maybe feeling not as productive as maybe they once were, maybe compared to a year ago, and also just wanting to be back amongst their colleagues.
Yeah.
Interaction.
We're speaking with Terry Collins, technology and business reporter at USA Today. His piece is called How Tech Will Help Many of Us Readjusting Back to the Office Post-COVID. There was someone in your story who said tech can be a bridge to doing this if you embrace it like you did for remote work. How so?
That's why I mentioned earlier, it's going to take a lot of communication. And then also it may take a little bit learning, a little bit training, because like say if you like use apps to help kind of like navigate your way through like going back into the office, like knowing what time you can go back in the office, what time is maybe you can get a meeting room available. Have you taken all the precautions necessary to come back to the office? Have you maybe done your vaccinations or plan to? Have you had your COVID testing? Are you in a better position as a worker? Are you in a better position to go in and conduct work, knowing that you might have to help navigate some of this stuff on your own via the apps and like I said, constant communication.
Thanks, Terry. Terry Collins, tech reporter at USA Today. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. This podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp. Is there something interfering with your happiness? We're all dealing with a lot right now. I'm sure you feel the same kind of added stress I do. Then you should know about BetterHelp. BetterHelp isn't a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional counseling done securely online. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. Start communicating in under 48 hours. Schedule weekly or monthly phone or video sessions or whatever works for you. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. That's why there's a special offer for This Morning with Gordon Deal listeners. 10% off your first month. Visit BetterHelp.com/Gordon. That's BetterHelp.com/Gordon. And join the over 1 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp, they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. That's 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Gordon.
The news, first, fast, and free of noise. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, April 28. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. The CDC easing some mask rules if you're fully vaccinated. President Biden tonight to propose free preschool. Record sales for the parent of Google in the first quarter. Another strong quarter for Microsoft. Supreme Court hears arguments today about a cheerleader's tirade on Snapchat that could decide whether schools can punish students for things said off campus. UFC star Conor McGregor sells his stake in a whiskey company for about $600 million. And the high school with nine valedictorians. That story in about 20 minutes. The U.S. has taken a hands-off approach to regulating self-driving cars, hoping to help the market thrive. But that approach could ultimately backfire if it helps sow doubt about the technology's safety. Currently, regulators are investigating 28 crashes of Tesla vehicles. More from Joanne Muller, transportation correspondent at Axios. Joanne, what's going on?
You know, the thing is that technology for self-driving cars is moving rather slowly, but the problem is that a lot of cars have assisted driving features that are enabling people to automate certain functions, you know, keep you in the between the lines and brake in an emergency. These are assisted driving features. The government is not regulating any of this. And so there's a lot of confusion out there, and that's the problem. We hear about self-driving cars all the time, but they don't actually exist yet.
To your point, that's part of the issue here for some regulators, isn't it? That the kind of the misleading names of some features? Because self-driving is not self-driving.
Well, that's exactly it. You know, the probably the worst offender here is Tesla. They have a feature that's basically enhanced cruise control that is called autopilot. And we've heard that before, and it sounds like you just push a button and the car will drive itself. Mm-hmm. So that is not at all true. They've added to that by now introducing a feature called full self-driving. This is still being beta tested with customers, Tesla owners, but again, it is not full self-driving software. And so there's a lot of safety advocates and consumer groups that have come out and really raised the red flag here and said, look, people, we are misleading consumers by using these kinds of marketing names. And it's not only Tesla, but Tesla is the one that is probably the biggest culprit. There's a lot of silly names for this technology. People call it ProPilot or Super Cruise or whatever. But only Tesla is the one that seems to imply that this technology can drive the car for you. The regulators have done nothing about this to this point. And so my story is looking at that issue, really, which is that the technology and the perceptions of the technology are getting way ahead of where regulators are.
We're speaking with Joanne Muller, transportation correspondent at Axios, about her story entitled Self-Driving Cars Speed Forward While Safety Rules Lag. So you referenced the hands-off approach that regulators have taken here. Has there been any indication that they might change that approach?
Well, I think this is a giant question that we have with the new administration. Pete Buttigieg is now the Secretary of Transportation in the Biden administration. He has only said that they are looking at a number of crashes that have occurred in Tesla vehicles where, in many cases, it appears that people were either misusing or over-trusting the technology. In other words, they had perhaps taken their hands off the wheel or were doing other things that were, you know, looking at text or playing video games, for example. So we have to see whether the government will step up here. Clearly, up until this point, the whole idea that the federal government has wanted to let this technology develop on its own, they didn't want to get in the way of innovation, right? And so they tried to give them people, these companies, a free hand within limits. But it's getting to the point now that there's a lot of misunderstanding out there, and it might actually come down to not the safety officials like the NHTSA or the Department of Transportation, and in fact, the Federal Trade Commission, which governs advertising and marketing, might be the ones to crack down on this.
Is there concern among potential buyers that's starting to creep into the conversation?
We're not seeing anything that we can point to. What we do know is that there's a lot of technology that if you haven't bought a car in the last 5 years, let's say, you're going to be shocked when you buy a new car how much technology is in there.
Thanks, Joanne. Joanne Muller, transportation correspondent at Axios. Coming up next, the perfect home if you cherish privacy. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Glad you could be with us on this Wednesday. It is time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. So are you like many of us these days, possessing zero patience and a desire to live by yourself on an island at a distance from others? If that's you, your perfect home has just hit the market. The only house on a small island off the coast of Rhode Island has gone on sale for an asking price just shy of $400,000. The address of this secluded hideaway is Zero Patience Way. The property is off the electrical grid, but comes with just under a half acre of land and approximately 600 square feet of living area. That includes two bedrooms, a kitchenette, a half bath, and what is described as a picturesque front porch. The island, officially part of the town of Portsmouth, is about one-third of a square mile. It's very, a compact residence on a private island.
One of the bedrooms actually has two bunk beds, so it sleeps four in that one room. I scrolled through the pictures on realtor.com.
I don't know. If you're at Zero Patience Way, do you really want four people living with you? I'm thinking on the island, you want to be by yourself.
And if it's, it's $400,000, but as I'm looking through, it looked like all the original appliances from 1972 when this thing was built.
Yeah.
Including like a card table with like a picnic cloth covering as the kitchen table.
I see.
One of those things. Yeah. A futon as a couch. Yeah. Very, very low maintenance.
Does it have the picturesque front porch? Because I didn't get a chance to see the photo myself.
I'm going
to
go with no. It appears to be just like a screened-in porch on, a little cottage.
Yeah.
That's about it.
So you're paying for the private island is really what you're paying for, the idea that you're by yourself on an island.
Yeah. It's not the front porch that's picturesque. It's the view from the screened-in porch that's picturesque, to be clear.
Gotcha. Yeah. But you have to batten down the hatches when hurricane comes through,
Take a boat to do everything.
Yes. And it's obvious that Mark Zuckerberg is still sensitive about sunscreen. Perhaps you'll remember we told you last July that the Facebook CEO was being mocked widely for a decision to slather his face in white sunscreen while surfing in Hawaii. 9 months later, for some reason, Zuckerberg is trying to explain that decision, saying on an Instagram Live video yesterday that he covered his face in the sunscreen after noticing a paparazzi guy hanging around in an attempt to not be recognized. Zuckerberg acknowledged what we all could have told him, that the attempt to hide his face in a gallon of sunscreen, quote, backfired. This explanation also contradicts what The Verge says Zuckerberg told staff shortly after the picture started making the rounds last summer, simply saying that he applied too much sunscreen. He also added at the time that he's not going to apologize for wearing too much sunscreen.
Could he apologize for talking too much about it? Is that possible?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure why that is a thing he has to talk about now, or make up a second story about it, or... you know, at this point, we've moved on. There are much more pressing issues for the folks at Facebook right now,
yes,
other than how much sunscreen, even though we did have a good laugh about it at the time.
Yeah.
And what we did note at the time was it's strange that nobody around him can sort of tell him that this is a bad idea, right?
Yes.
I guess when you get to that level and you have that much money,
yeah,
you know, you got to have somebody nearby who can sort of tell you the hard truth,
right,
when things like that happen, right?
Right, right.
Not just a bunch of yes people,
right,
hanging out with you.
It was like, hey, Mark, if I may.
Yeah.
It looks like you haven't fully rubbed in the sunscreen on,
yeah,
your face.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, thanks. And it could have been over just like that.
Somebody may be taking a, yeah, picture of you at some point.
Right. Thank you, Mike. When you call a Dell Technologies advisor, you're talking to someone who isn't waiting for their turn to speak, but who actually wants to hear what you have to say. They're focused on you, ready to give advice on everything from laptops to the cloud, and offer tailored solutions powered by Intel vPro platform to keep your small business ready for what's next. Our advisors listen, so you know your small business needs have been heard. Call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Ask Dell. Glad you're with us. If you've been unable to get the new Real ID driver's license because of the coronavirus pandemic, you can relax. The deadline has been extended another 19 months. The Department of Homeland Security yesterday announced another delay to the full implementation of the law requiring people to have a Real ID in order to board domestic flights and enter some federal buildings. The department postponed the Real ID deadline from this October 1st to May of 2023. Congress passed the Real ID Act, you might recall, in 2005 in response to the terror attacks of 9/11. It aimed to standardize the criteria used to issue driver's licenses and other state IDs across the country. How do you know if your driver's license is a Real ID? Look in the top right corner. If you see a gold star, your license is Real ID compliant. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden is set to announce $200 billion in education funding as part of his sweeping spending package he will unveil prior to his primetime address to a joint session of Congress. The proposal will direct the funds toward universal preschool for all 3- and 4-year-olds through a national partnership with states, and it will also call for 2 years of tuition-free community college for all Americans.
Number two.
The CDC is easing its guidelines on the wearing of masks outdoors, saying fully vaccinated people don't need to cover their faces anymore unless they're in a big crowd of strangers, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
I know that we all miss the things that we used to do before the pandemic, and I know that we all want to get back to doing those things that we love, and soon. Today is another day we can take a step back to the normalcy of before.
Also yesterday, Louisiana's governor partially lifted the state's mask mandate, the first Democratic governor to make such a move during the Biden presidency.
Number three.
The FBI has launched a civil rights probe into the death of Andrew Brown Jr., a black man killed by deputies in North Carolina, as his family released an independent autopsy showing he was shot 5 times, including in the back of the head. Attorney Harry Daniels.
Shot this man while he had his hands on the steering wheel. He wasn't fleeing. He wasn't fleeing.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper called for a special prosecutor as pressure builds on authorities to release body camera footage of last week's shooting. A judge scheduled a hearing for today to consider formal requests to make the video public. As older folks get vaccinated and some kids and parents tire of being cooped up with one another, there's a new vacation trend emerging called skip Gen travel or gramping. That's when grandparents and grandkids travel together without the children's parents. According to a survey conducted by destination analysts, more than 70% of us hope to travel in the near future. At the same time, hotels across the country are seeing a boost in bookings made using AARP discounts and other senior rates.
Wow, all right. Thank you, Jen. Coming up next, the high school with 9 valedictorians.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A high school in Houston, Texas just revealed who's at the top of the class of 2021 and announced a whopping 9 students are sharing the title of valedictorian. All nine seniors have a 5.0 grade point average. Bel Air High School principal Michael McDonough said he started hearing that the class of 2021 was something special during their freshman year. CBS News says having nine students all with that GPA still shocked him. To mark the special occasion of having nine valedictorians, the school held a scholars recognition ceremony. The seniors will also be honored at the school's graduation in June. Among them, Annie Zhu, who will attend Stanford to study symbolic systems. Her twin sister, Shirley, is also one of the nine valedictorians. She hasn't chosen a college yet, but plans to study computer science. The Zhu sisters, by the way, co-founded Fresh Hub, an organization that rescues unsold food and redistributes the fruit, vegetables, and bread to the needy across Houston. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.